Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
It was very nice. What about you?
Good. I missed you guys last week.
I know.
It was a nice trip to Kansas. We had snow. 103-year-old grandma still alive and kicking. My niece got married. It was event-filled.
Oh, wow. Thanksgiving on purpose?
Got married on Thanksgiving on purpose. No, she got married on Saturday. And yes, on purpose.
Wow.
385 people on purpose.
Wow.
Big wedding. Lots of fun.
So what kind of turkey?
Oh, gosh. We had like five different kinds of turkey and sweet potatoes. It was a nonstop eating fest.
Any fresh, farm fresh stuff?
All kinds of farm fresh stuff. And they hunt in Kansas. Everybody hunts. It was all about killing stuff.
For their turkey?
Just in general. Conversation. I learned a lot about hunting.
And that was good because I had Stone Payton. You know, he does a show. And he also hunts.
Oh, does he? I'm starting to shoot. I think I'm going to join Annie Oakley's.
What is that?
It's a shooting club for women.
Nice.
Yeah, I shot for the first time a couple weeks ago. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. It's a power thing.
Yeah, I could see. It was targets. I don't know that I could kill anything, though. Don't think I could.
You've taken the first step.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a girly thing, but we do have two female guests this morning, and we're going to talk about something girly. And, Lee, I hope it doesn't embarrass you, but we're going to talk about...
Why would it embarrass me?
You have a wife, but we're talking about a great female product, and these women are geniuses in my mind. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Amy Pedersen and Jennifer Daniels. They're related, I understand, and they have a great product called Slimpressions that we're anxious to hear all about. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So Jennifer and Amy, how are you related?
Well, Amy and I are sisters-in-law. Amy is married to my brother, John. And we not only are family members, but we were also in business school at Georgia State University at the same time, about 10 years ago now. But we knew then that we'd wanted to bring our ideas together, and Amy being very creative and on the advertising marketing side, and I have a lot of business operations background, so we knew one day we were going to bring the forces together.
So how did you start? I mean, did you just sit around and brainstorm on a napkin, or how did you come up with the product? First of all, Slimpressions, it is, go ahead, tell us.
It's shapewear for women designed to slim and sculpt the top half of a woman's body. There's some fantastic things for the bottom half on the market, and we wanted to address some needs that we had on the upper half with an emphasis on arm flab, an area that had been untapped until this.
I used to call that cafeteria arm. I was a personal trainer for many years, and in the cafeteria when you were in grade school, you know, the cafeteria lady would put the mashed potatoes down, and then her arm wiggled for like 15 minutes afterwards.
Absolutely.
That's the arm flab, right?
Yes, that's the arm flab that I am so proud to sport myself, which is why we needed to develop this product back in the day.
It's hard to get rid of.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. And the back fat that people don't really, especially if you're a man, you don't know what back fat is, but women have back fat. Can you address that?
Absolutely, and that was something that was an eye-opener when I turned 40, because I said, what is this that I have now? But the product does. It covers the arm flab. It covers the back fat, kind of smooths that out. It also smooths out the area in your lower waist and your midriff. So we really wanted something to cover the top. And our initial design, interestingly, was just the arms. And our, you know, folks that we did initial focus groups with said, love the arms, but we need something to cover this back, my midriff, and my lower waist bulge. So they said, bring it on down, and that's what we did.
What is it made of, the top?
The top is 75% microfiber nylon and 25% Lycra spandex, and it's very comfortable and lightweight. Being here in Georgia, that was a big priority for us, was to have something you could wear under your clothes and still be very, very comfortable. And then we put some design features to make sure that you're comfortable during the day, the underarm area, and then certainly the way it fits through the midriff. And we wanted to make sure it was very, very comfortable and lightweight, and I think we accomplished that.
Can you talk a little bit, you call it shapewear. Is this something that's under your clothes, or is this the actual clothes?
It is. In fact, you know, on radio, it's a little bit of a challenge to demonstrate, of course. But I'm wearing, we have two versions of the sleeved version called the haves and the have-nots. The haves, unlike the have-not, has a little bit of a bralette here, like I'm wearing it as a layering piece. The have-nots, on the other hand, scoops underneath the bra so that a woman can promote the girls with her push-up and her bra-fitting and, you know, the wonderful other accessories that she wears.
So that you would not wear by yourself. That would be one you'd wear underneath your clothes.
You don't want to fly solo on that.
Exactly.
One. You have to BYOB. Bring your own bra.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. On the website, I saw the picture, and I was like, surely you don't wear it like that. So in other words, it's underneath the shirt. So
right. So, you know, there are times when you have a plunging neckline that you wouldn't want to compete with, for example. So in that case, it's great to wear the have-nots. Or some women are very cognizant of, you know, they're bra fitting, and they don't want to compete with anything else. And it was interesting because when we went into development and testing, we had various feedback from the women, whether they were, you know, size C and D. Some of them wanted the extra support, and some said, you know what, I would rather go with what the girls bring to the table by themselves.
Sure. And that was a design piece that I really wanted. I didn't want to have that area covered up, so we came up with that plunging neckline. That's what the focus was. But you can also wear it like a layering piece, even on the arms. That's a real popular style now with a T-shirt, and you can actually show it. And with four really great colors, it comes in black, white, a chocolate brown, and a champagne nude. You can really mix it up with your wardrobe nicely if you're going to use it as a layering piece.
Mm-hmm. And how do people find these? How do people purchase the product?
Well, they can certainly go to slimpressions.com and see a list of our store locations and our boutiques, as well as you can purchase them on herroom.com or, of course, our own site, slimpressions.com.
And we have a couple of stores right here in Atlanta, Intimacy being one of them at Phipps Plaza, and Necessities by Sherry down in Snellville, and The Perfect Fit in Covington.
Wow. So how did you get started? You come up with the idea. I mean, there's a lot in the middle. Tell our listeners, I mean, encourage them, let them know, don't give up on these great ideas. Where did you go?
Well, you know, what's interesting is we were in business school together, and we knew we'd had to come up with, you know, a great idea that we could bring to the table that we thought would be marketable and that we thought we'd be successful at. It also had to really mix well with our families, because I've got three children, Amy has two, and our families are very intertwined, and we wanted to make sure that our careers, and we were very career-oriented people, were going to blend with our families. So Amy came up with some really great ideas initially that
I was wondering when this was going to come
up. Amy's the idea gal, and I'm the one who, you know, she's reaching for the stars, and I'm keeping our feet on the ground all at the same time. And there were some great ideas, and we'll spare you those. But this is one where she truly was waving across a parking lot, and the arm kept waving, the flab kept waving, and the arm didn't. So she called me, and of course I was at the computer. We started to do some research, and it took some time. We really had to do our homework. We were not familiar with the textile industry, and did our research there, had to find manufacturers, and we were inspired by some other products out there, one of which being Under Armour, because of the breathability of the product, and also the owner there is a Maryland grad, and it's where I did my undergrad, so I certainly was inspired by him. So we knew we wanted to do something like that, and we had to find manufacturers that would support a seamless design. So it took a little bit of time. We went through North Carolina and South Carolina and traveled and visited those locations, but we finally found a manufacturer here in the United States, and that was another thing that was really important to us, is to manufacture this product right here. There are a variety of reasons now, from an economic perspective, and promoting within our own country is very important, but also just being able to walk on the floor, and I can't do that, and Amy and I can't do that across the ocean. So at any time, we can walk the floor of our plant, make sure they meet our quality standards, and we've been really pleased, and that's been a big focus, the high-quality product and supporting an American workforce.
But going into this, we weren't familiar with patent writing or trademarking or that sort of thing, so we did a lot of research, asked a lot of questions. You know, initially I got a how to write your own patent book, drafted that myself, and, you know, ultimately submitted it to professionals for legal advice and to punch holes in it. But, you know, that was very important for us, to protect our ideas and to make sure that we trademark our names, et cetera.
And that's where we spent, that was the investment dollars we spent. We thought that was not something that we were going to skimp on. Now, other things we had to take our time on, of course, and especially now if you're going to start a business in what was officially a recession as of, what,
a year ago.
A year ago it was, but I don't think they announced it.
You didn't know.
Exactly. We all didn't know.
The undercover recession.
Exactly. But, you know, you have to pay attention and focus your dollars on the actual product itself. protecting the idea and focusing on the customer and get that feedback. And that's really where we spent our money initially. We didn't go blasting from an advertising perspective and promotions out of the gate until we really had refined the product. And it took us 3 years, and then we went to market earlier this year. And that's where we've been spending our dollars this year, really, is in the promotion arena.
And you've gone to market very quickly. The product is available all over the United States and Canada, correct?
Yes, it is.
So do you have distributors in the various areas?
We do. We have 5 independent sales agents that represent our product, and it was great to find great partners who knew the geographic areas. So we're covered all across the United States and now in Canada.
Wow.
Can you share like some of the challenges and maybe some of the things you didn't expect that came up?
It was a little harder than I thought to come and partner with reps. Not having the field experience and the manufacturing experience, you don't come to the table with any credibility. So literally, I snuck my way into the apparel mart one afternoon and cold called on one of the sales reps, and I went in with a one-armed prototype. And I introduced myself and was wearing the garment, one side with the sleeve, one side not, and did my own very live before and after presentation. It's a little bit of a freak show, I'll admit, but it is attention-getting because you can see that it smooths the one side and you can see the other side. And
right.
Anyone that is familiar with the industry is aware that, we have these soft spots on our body that are being addressed by so many other products, but this was a niche opportunity that had not been addressed. So he immediately saw the opportunity there. And once we established ourselves and, he started demonstrating some sales, then it took off like wildfire, and it was very easy for us to secure.
Is there a YouTube video of that out there yet?
Yes.
Oh, there are quite a few
Sadly
videos.
There are.
And if you go to our website, mm-hmm. you can certainly see that. And we've been fortunate to, through the trade, that's where we started too. People kind of wonder how you first get recognized. We had to spend, I think it was another challenge. We didn't realize that we had to really build up the credibility within the trade itself and to find those sales agents who were willing to drop another line to pick up ours. I mean,
right.
That was a challenge. We thought, of course, we have this wonderful idea.
Right.
Don't you want our product?
Exactly.
Or are you crazy? But what you really are doing, just like you are in retail, you are displacing
something
mm-hmm.
else.
So it's, even though it's not technically real estate, it's really mind share of these sales reps who are going to be representing you and being out there and in the industry. And we had to pick the right trade shows, and you do need to be
right.
at those, even if you may not find buyers that buy on the spot. We did need to be there, and that's how we met a lot of the sales agents and some other partners we have worked with. But it took time. But, actually, if you look at it, our first trade show was the Atlanta Apparel Mart in January 2008, not even a year ago.
Wow.
And then we were at 2 industry shows in February, and that really got the word out. And then we started to get the phone calls in. But it still took a little bit of time to build that credibility, and that's something you just can't plan for.
So the next step is that Oprah spot?
Absolutely.
Amen.
The Oprah favorites?
Oh, I can see that. I can see that in Oprah favorites next year. Oprah would love this. Any woman with any soft spots are going to love this. I can't wait to try mine on.
Thank you.
I don't know, Lee, you might not recognize me next time because I'll look so slim on my upper half. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us today. How can people purchase the product if they don't have a store near them? Is there a place online?
Absolutely. You can actually purchase the product on slimpressions.com. Or you can purchase the product at herroom.com. Both of those are online retailers that can take your order with a credit card.
And can you spell Slimpressions?
SlimpressionsCom.
Very clever, too. I love the logo.
Thanks.
No
Thank
question
you.
As to what it's for, right?
You got it.
Thank you so much for being with us today. We wish you all the best of luck, and we hope our listeners will go online and find out more about your product. There's some great videos on your website as well that people can watch to learn more about the product that are very short and really do a great job of showing the product. You said the one arm covered and the other arm not covered. That's a great demonstration. So listeners, please go to the website, check that out. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
Boy, Lee, we go two extremes today. We go from the girly to the manly man. I'm not so sure that we can do this again.
What, this combination?
I don't think we could ever do this type of combination successfully again. We go from the feminine products that you know, are slimming, and really only women will buy those products. Men,
right.
Men,
not
please.
Even a gift item.
No, don't buy that for your lady.
It's a no win for a guy.
Suggesting that they have upper body fat they need to get rid of.
Right.
Yeah, it's like up there with a blender. Actually, I'd rather receive a blender.
Appliance is better.
Yeah, exactly. But ladies, you're going to want to go online and buy one of these, especially because the layered look is in. I can see myself wearing that under a T-shirt. Can't wait.
Nice.
You can try it on. So we go from the girly girl to the manly man business, and we have two folks here today from Mr. Handyman, which, Lee, I didn't realize that Mr. Handyman is a franchise. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, you do now. Gary Valvo and Michael Carney are here today, who have recently opened up the 300th franchise for Mr. Handyman. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Amy.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're so happy to have y'all. Mr. Handyman, I love the logo. I've seen it around. I never knew it was a franchise. How in the world did y'all go from businessmen, which obviously y'all have a lot of business experience, to wanting to open a franchise of a handyman?
Well, actually, Mike and I had worked together in the Peachtree City area for about 3 years. And through a series of acquisitions and divestitures within the industry that we were working in, Mike ended up in Europe for a few years, and I ended up running a company in St. Louis, commuting back and forth to Peachtree City. When our assignments ended, we ended back up in Peachtree City, where our families were still habitating, and we decided we were kind of tired of moving around and kind of tired of chasing jobs all across the country, and thought we would like to get into our own business. Mike actually came up with Mr. Handyman through a bunch of research that he was doing, and it was a business model that we saw and liked and investigated quite a bit and got into it earlier this spring.
What we saw was that there was a great need for the handyman services, and we saw it as a growth area in our community specifically, mm-hmm. but across the whole United States. And
I know a lot of people would think that the home improvement market is declining, but really, in fact, a lot of the statistics show that people are cocooning more and staying home, so they want their home to be fixed up, not necessarily expanded, but fixed up. Are you finding that that's the case in the economy?
Yes and no. I mean, what we're finding is that there's still a lot of small home projects. What's happening is somebody used to spend $30,000 remodeling their kitchen, and they could get, knowing they would do that, get the value back out of the house. In today's home markets, that's not the case. You spend $30,000 in your house, you don't have a guarantee that you can raise your price by $30,000. So what happens is people are going to spend money on the smaller projects mm-hmm. for doing that.
What's the sweet spot for Mr. Handyman? What kind of repairs do you typically do?
Our sweet spot is any small home project. Our average project length of time is 3 hours, and within that 3 hours, we'll probably do somewhere between 5 and 10 specific projects. So it could be caulking windows, fixing a wall that, you know, somebody broke out, changing a light fixture.
Do you do painting?
Yes, painting.
Wow. You know, Entrepreneurial Magazine listed Mr. Handyman as one of the fastest growing franchises, which surprised me. But then when I thought about it, when you look at the handyman market, some of the big headaches that people experience are they're never on time. They don't even show up. What are some of the things that your philosophy might, you know, help people understand as to how you do service?
Well, all of our business and planning is based around some of those key objections that most people have about handyman. Our technicians are, first of all, certified, fully insured and bonded, and have undergone extensive drug and criminal background checks. We arrive on time for set appointments, and we're prepared to do the work. All our technicians are uniformed. They come in a nice, clearly marked van. So the typical woman who is who's really the target of our customers can feel comfortable with someone coming into their home and doing the work. All of our technicians have experience levels of about 15 years in the business. So they're well prepared to do all the work that may come about.
Do either of you do any of the work?
No, we do not.
None. So
once in a while, we're out there doing a little bit of help when they need an extra hand. But no, we're just running the business, the marketing, and the operations.
How do you find the technicians?
Actually, Craigslist is a great resource for us to advertise. I put an ad on Craigslist, and I had over 100 resumes within
a
week.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow, yeah, especially in that industry.
Is there training? Like, how do you train them to get them ready for? Are they employees? Are they contractors?
They're employees of the business, and that's one of our advantages. And there's not – we don't do specific training for the handyman services. We're expecting somebody to be hired –
have a level of skill already. You know,
15 years or more experience to do. And they can pretty much do electrical, plumbing, carpentry, any kind of work in the house. The training we do is for customer service because to us, customer service, the customer is the most important. So what we're trying to do is teach this technician, hey, you have to satisfy the customer, explain to them what's going on. So the technician shows up at the house and they will explain what they're going to be doing specifically, make sure the customer agrees with it, give them a time estimate for the time they think it's going to take to do that, and then do the work, and all the while keeping the customer informed of the project.
That's really the way it should be done, but it doesn't seem like it is. We did a home remodel, and it's amazing how many contractors just didn't show up. It's just amazing to me.
Is reliability, is that the biggest gripe that consumers have with their, handyman, not Mr. Handyman, but handyman in general?
Between reliability and not showing up on time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you call it a person, he may give you a window, a range of time, or, hey, I'll show up sometime today or tomorrow.
Right.
We give a specific time, so like 8 o'clock in the morning, and we show up at 8 o'clock in the morning. We don't typically give a time range. And the other thing is reliability. Some of the projects we do are from people that have hired contractors, and they've left the job, and they can't get them to come back to finish the work up.
Wow. So you finish a lot of work?
Some, yes.
So you finish it up. So how can people reach Mr. Handyman? Do you service just the Atlanta area? What's the region
you cover?
What's
your territory?
There are actually 6 Mr. Handyman franchises in the Atlanta area. There are 5 on the north side. We cover the south side of Atlanta, specifically Coweta, Fayette, and Southern Union County.
Do you only do
just residential, or will you do small commercial?
We do also do small commercial work on an ongoing basis as well as residential, yes.
So if someone has an office and they have some things, just people can make their honey-do list, but instead of sending it to their secretary, they send it to the Mr. Handyman, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the way you can get a hold of us is through our website is the best way, through www.mrhandyman.com. And there you can put in your zip code and you'll find a specific handyman.
The closest one.
You can also submit a form on there that says, here's the work I need, and it will get directed to the local Mr. Handyman franchise office. As you mentioned, first off, we're the 300th franchise. So there are franchises across every major city in the United States, and we're all put together by the Mr. Handyman corporate franchise.
So, again, what made you go with Mr. Handyman out of all the franchises that are out there?
Well, I did a lot of research on – we picked the category Mr. Handyman, as I talked about, and I did a lot of research, and there's probably 10 different franchise models for Mr. Handyman. And we like the Mr. Handyman franchise model the best, specifically because it let us manage the office. We would hire the people to do the work. That's the Mr. Handyman model. A lot of the other franchises, you do the work, and they kind of help you as a
with
handyman.
With the back office stuff?
With the back office kinds of things. And we felt that this was the easiest one to grow. I mean, our target is 7 to 10 technicians over two plus years for running this business within our greater area of our franchise area. Mm-hmm. And what we found was after the investigation with Mr. Handyman that they gave you the tools to really develop and grow and to start your business model very quickly.
How do they help you promote and get the word out about your service?
Well, that's been one of our challenges on the advertising side of it. What they do is we have pre-made up literature, so they've developed it. I don't know if you've seen, we've started, Mr. Handyman has started television advertising. Richard Carnes from Tool Time is now our spokesperson.
That's a good thing.
And so we have, brochures, we have flyers, those kinds of things for Mr. Handyman. And then what they do is they help you with, hey, here are the typical other franchise owners have advertised in, like Valpak, mm-hmm. Red Plum, you know, the Yellow Pages, you know, all those different kinds of things are things they helped us with.
That's interesting. So the best way for people to reach you again is from the website?
Mm-hmm.
We encourage people to do that. Everybody's got that list of things around their house that needs to be fixed.
Is there, like, how do you know what the cost is going to be? Do you quote prior to getting there, or is there a ballpark?
Actually, we work on a time and material basis. So when we get there, we examine the job and go over it with the owner of the premises and explain to them exactly what we see. And sometimes as we are going through the process, such as when we're correcting wood rot or something like that around an outside door or window, sometimes as we go through that process, we find there may be more damage than is expected. So often it's very, very difficult to really give a true quote-unquote firm estimate until you get there, examine, and sometimes open up the situation or the problem itself to examine it. So we are our services are based on time and material.
Is there a fee to have that initial person come out to assess the situation?
There is a service charge that is included in our first hour of service. And then we have a regular hourly rate after that.
And that's one of our challenges is the typical in the home business, it's an estimate business.
Mm-hmm.
And what Mr. Handyman promotes is that you can actually do it cheaper under time and material.
Right.
It sounds funny, but you're spending money to have somebody come out and do an estimate, and they always give you the high side of the estimate. And for us to go in, we basically just show up, start doing the work right away, and finish it up. And what you're getting is as a service person that can do that work.
Right. It's more efficient that way.
It's more efficient. It would take less time to do it.
And it ends up costing less in the long run.
Yes.
Wow. We hope people will make out their little to-do list. The holiday time is a great time to spruce up your home, I think. I've got my list made up.
Super.
When you just said that about the caulking of the windows, you can feel when the breeze is coming in and it's cold out right now, where there are areas that need to be caulked, that's for sure. Check out Mr. Handyman, and I'm sure there's one close to you, and they'll come out and take care of your honey-do list, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the founder of TGS, Dr. Robert Schwartzel, who is the president and principal consultant. And we're talking a lot about different types of businesses. We've been featuring some franchises. We've been featuring some startups. We brought Bob on this morning because he does some seminars and is a consultant for businesses of all sizes. And in the economic market that we're experiencing today, companies now more than ever really need Bob's services. So welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Bob.
Thanks, Amy.
Tell us a little bit about TGS and about the seminars you have coming up.
Well, first of all, TGS is a business that I founded 5 years ago after a career in research and development and R&D management to try to help businesses get through the product development process more effectively, bring their products to market more effectively, and do that in sort of a holistic way by not only looking at the product concept itself, but looking at the whole picture. The way the company is managing the employees who do the product development, the way they're managing their intellectual property, the way they're handling their customer focus. And over the years, that has evolved through collaborations with other consultants, in particular with Larry Warnick, who is the president of Passkey Strategies. And Larry focuses a lot on management, strategic management consulting, and executive coaching. So the two of us have been complementary to each other. And we have broadened this into a series of seminars and workshops that we've now put together that we are offering on the third week of each month at the corporate office centers, two locations, on the third Tuesday of each month at the corporate office centers on Glenlake Parkway down in Dunwoody, just off Georgia 400 north of the perimeter, and on the third Thursday of each month at the Alpharetta location of corporate office centers on Lakeview Parkway, just off Haynes Bridge Road, just west of Georgia 400. What we're doing in these seminars is really broadening our consulting focus in helping companies really position themselves to survive and to grow in this difficult economic time. And so we're looking now not just at the product development process, but the whole picture of how do you decide what your core business is? You know, how do you know who your customers are? And as we've seen in the two guests that you had earlier today, both of those folks, I think, did a great job of focusing on their customers first and building their business around their customer needs, and that's absolutely critical to succeed.
Is that a common problem you see in most businesses, that they don't, they just do what they do and they're really not listening to what their customer really wants?
Yeah, it's funny and it's sort of contradictory, but that happens many more times than you'd think. And particularly in companies that are developing more technical, high-techy sorts of products, it's very common for the engineers and the researchers who are doing the actual development to get so focused on their little piece of the widget that they lose sight of the customer, and they simply want to make their little piece of the pie, you know, as good and as perfect as they can be. And it takes some effort, I think, to get the conversation going to help them realize that there's a bigger picture out there and that they really need to think that what they're doing is going to make a real difference in some customer's life eventually.
So through this seminar series, you're able to help companies of all size, from the three-man company to the 100-man company, correct?
Correct. And what we're really doing is taking it step by step. Each month, we've done two of these seminars so far. We've looked at what is your business really? We've looked at who is your customer focus? We've looked at what is your vision for the company? What's your mission statement about how you're going to achieve that vision? Hopefully, you have a vision that's bigger than just yourself. Your vision ought to be on making a difference for your customers, not just on making the best widget that you can make. This month, starting on the 16th at the Glen Lake location and the 18th at the Alpharetta location, we're talking about how do you position your company relative to your competitors so that you can, again, have that customer focus and convey in your customers' minds what your service or what your product is all about.
And how much are these seminars?
The nice thing about the seminars is that they're absolutely free.
Wow.
There's no charge to attend. Just show up. The seminars start around 11:30 with networking, and then we have about 45 minutes to an hour presentation from 12 to about 1 o'clock. And then there's as much networking as people want to do after that also. Now, what we're also offering in addition to the free seminars is a paid workshop where we take the broad brush principles that we introduce in the seminars, and we then work with the people who participate in the workshops in depth over two four-hour sessions, to help them really implement that for their business going forward into 2009. And for that, we charge $495 for the full workshop per client.
But there's no obligation that the seminars are absolutely free.
No, no obligation, no strings attached. Just come on down, network, maybe learn something, and if things work out, then perhaps we'll get some consulting business. But the real idea is to get people networking and to just provide a focus for people to improve their business.
Wow, sounds like a win-win to me.
I know. You and Larry do the seminars? Or do you have guest seminar?
Larry and I host the seminars with the assistance of Carrie Tegeter, who is the manager of corporate office centers at those two locations. We do plan to have occasional guest speakers to come in and supplement what we do during the course of the next year. So far, we've done the seminars ourselves, but we will from time to time have other guest speakers to fill in the spots where we're not so great at particular topics.
That sounds great.
Is there something that one topic leads to the next, or each one kind of stands by themselves?
Well, the way we've designed the seminars is they actually are a progressive series. I mean, we started out just trying to figure out what's your business. And the analogy I like to use is, do you think of yourself as a train company, or do you think of yourself as a transportation company? Right. If you're a train company, you're thinking about locomotives and tracks,
right,
and you're kind of limited to a geographical area. I mean, it's not a bad business, but it's not terribly scalable. If you're a transportation company, all of a sudden you can think FedEx or UPS, and you're thinking trains and planes and trucks and boats and all sorts of things, and it's scalable around the whole world. So it makes a difference as to how broad you think about using your core capabilities. And one of the things that we would suggest to businesses, especially in these days, is to really look at your core competence. You know, what is it that distinguishes you from your competitors and what makes you better, whether it's your product or whether it's the way you deliver that product or deliver that service, as in the case with Mr. Handyman that we just saw, where their focus is not so much that they can hammer nails better than anybody else, but they show up on time and they give you a lower cost process because they're not making two trips to give an estimate. You know, that's a great example of delivering a service in a better way, even though it might be a service that other people could provide. You're doing it in a way that differentiates you from the competitors.
Do you have any suggestions for people? You know, this is a down economy for a lot of people, but in all markets, some people do make money. What separates the people that get through this okay as opposed to the people who don't?
No, I think it's two things. I think, first of all, it's really keeping an eye on who your customers are. It's really being sure that you focus your business to serve your customers and meet your customers' actual needs. Don't assume that you know who your customers are, but really think about what your core capability is. Think about how you may be able to move out of the little box that you've been living in. You know, maybe if you are, I don't know, if you're a company that does, let's say, product fulfillment, where you send out, DSL modems for a phone company or something like that. Well, maybe the thing is, if you're good at doing customer fulfillment, maybe it's time to begin reaching out beyond the telecommunications industry and think about doing fulfillment for other businesses as well. So think about ways that you can leverage your core capabilities and your core competencies outside the little sandbox that you've been playing in historically.
Do you think that now's the time that people should be doing more marketing, or kind of bunker down a little bit here?
Well, I mean, clearly people have to be careful with their dollars and their pennies, and so you have to market smart. And to the extent that you're able to put out press releases, network, do radio shows like this, to the extent that you can get free airtime and free publicity, that is far better than paying dollars to do that. And I think on top of that, you need to just be sure to be smart about placing your ads and putting your exposure where you're going to get the most people to see it, who are the customers that you want to reach.
Lee, we're out of time.
Yes, we are.
We hope that people will go to your seminars and definitely check out what you have to offer. And thank you for being our guest today. We'll have the information on the website so people can click and find out more about the seminars and workshops. Until next week, thank you all for listening. Lee, I hope you have a wonderful week.
You too.
Great guests, wonderful show.
Always.
Stay warm.